Okay, the theme today that God's laid on my heart is the need of every new and old believer. The need of every new and old believer. You say, I don't want to be called old. Okay, then I guess you're a new believer. But old doesn't mean you're old in the Lord. It just means maybe you've been saved for a while. We've been journeying through the book of Acts, and we come now to the end of the second missionary journey. What a journey Paul has been on now. Of course, all of journey number one, journey number two. Think about what Paul has been through on the second missionary journey. Much of the time, he has been met with confrontation. He's been met with not necessarily open arms, shall we say. Not everyone was glad to hear the message, and yet he continues to deliver the message that God wanted him to deliver. What a faithful testimony, what a faithful witness. In fact, we could say that from Philippi to Thessalonica, into Berea, and even into Athens, there was persecution that Paul had to go through. There was a sneaking him out of the city at one time, and there was just a rejection of the message. In fact, we learned that there's no easy road. There's no easy road for the Apostle Paul on this missionary adventure. But we've also learned that every step of the way, God was with him. Every step of the way that he preached the truth, and he always would do that, God was with him. He never failed him, and he never forsook Paul. Now, this might be a time, you might think, at the end of a journey, at the end of a tour of preaching and going from place to place, this might be a time to take a break. And while there is a time for rest, and while there is a time to take it easy, we don't see that that was what the Apostle Paul was doing yet at this point. What does God do in Corinth? We learned about that. The Bible says that God allowed a church to begin in the city of Corinth. In fact, the Bible tells us that he stayed there for 18 months. Stayed there preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, advancing the cause of Christ in one of the most difficult places to do it, the city of Corinth, and we won't go back and reteach that. But he kept moving forward. He kept advancing for the Lord. I want to show you something that God showed me through a message on Wednesday night. Go back in the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Old Testament book of Numbers. And I hope this will encourage you this morning as we look at these needs, and we'll get to that in a minute. The book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Look with me, if you will, in Numbers chapter 13. I believe that this passage of Scripture helps us. Did I put the right chapter down? Now I'm questioning myself. That's not the verse I wanted. The verse I wanted was what I heard on Wednesday night, and I thought that's what I heard on Wednesday night. Just a second here. It talks about him being old. Yeah, old. Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't want to hear that, Ms. Carmen. That's probably why I can't find it. Oh, man. Numbers 13:1. Okay. Well, I guess you weren't supposed to hear it. God didn't want you to hear it. It's the changing of the guard. It's the changing of the guard from Moses to Joshua. Maybe it's from Joshua. I think it was at the end of Joshua's life. I'm going to give it just a little bit more. Maybe it was Deuteronomy 13. Let me look there, and then if that's not it, my brain has let me down again. Yep, that's not it. Okay, let's go back to Acts. Joshua had conquered much. I'll give you what I wrote in my notes, even though I wrote down the wrong passage. Joshua had conquered much for the Lord. In fact, he had conquered all that God had given them in Canaan. And God had promised that everything in Canaan would be theirs, but it didn't mean they could just walk through it. There were battles that they had to face. All of the ites, if you remember, all of the ites that they would have to conquer. So Joshua continued, though, in that. And I thought of Joshua when we think of Paul coming to the end of a missionary journey, coming to the end of a stage in life, getting to a part in life where maybe we need to just take it easy a little bit in the things of the Lord. And again, there's a time for rest. I'm not saying that. But there isn't. The pastor that was preaching on Wednesday night, my parents' pastor, Pastor Sexton, said this: too many people have died long before they were dead. Too many people have died, think about that, long before they were dead. I'm looking at a lot of people that are alive today. Amen?
Amen.
I don't see any dead people here. Okay? Praise the Lord. You're alive. You're breathing. But you know what? Many times we let the cares of this world, and many times we let the challenges of this world, and we let the things of this world squelch the life that God has given us. And while we're a walking dead man, if you will. We're not living for the Lord. We're not looking for His return. We're not loving Him. We're not loving Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so if we're not careful, we can get into that place where we're just walking around, but nothing, we're not doing anything for God. May God help us to find new life in Christ each and every day. Story is told of a man who was a world-class runner in Kenya. During the Sydney Olympics, an interviewer asked this man, Mr. Laggett, L-A-G-A-T, he asked Mr. Laggett how his country was able to produce so many unbelievable runners. You ever noticed a lot of Kenyan men are fast? They get all these races and win all these prizes a lot of the times. Mr. Laggett told of the African strategy for motivating success in running. He said to this interview, he said, you see, it's very simple. They're road signs. And the road signs say this: beware of lions. And that's incentive. Maybe you've heard that story before. That's incentive for them to run so fast. Amen? And what I'm saying is, while we're not, thankfully, we don't have any four-legged lions around here in Burnaby, we do have a lion in our life, though. We have the devil, who is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And yet we also have the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And I want to, in my PowerPoint today, as we look at these verses of Scripture, is that we would finish strong for the glory of God. Wherever you are in your life, let's determine today, on this 12th day of September 2021, I want to finish strong for the Lord. I'm not saying you're going to heaven this week, although who knows? Some of us might go to heaven this week. I have no idea. Believe me, if you get to heaven this week, you're not going to want to come back to Burnaby, all right? You're not going to want to come back to Coquitlam or Port Coquitlam or anywhere in between. You're going to say, wow, I'm staying right here. But I'm just saying, may we determine today as the family of God that we want to finish strong for the glory of God. How does this happen? Okay, let's look at this. Verse number 18. I'm just going to give you three words, really, that I hope you'll be able to meditate on this week as we consider the need of every new or old believer, because we want to finish strong for the glory of God. Verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave the people of Corinth. The place that he thought was so difficult or so challenging to go, he stayed there for a good while. The first thing I believe that every believer, old or new, needs is love. Love. I truly see in the Apostle Paul a man of God who, when he would go into a city, God would give him a supernatural love for the people. He loved them no matter how they lived. He loved them no matter how their background. He loved them no matter how they treated him. What a testimony of someone who loved. And over these 18 months, their relationship grew closer and closer together. Let's take a look at the epistle that he wrote a little bit more. We looked at it earlier today. But go to 1 Corinthians 1. Let's just read some of what he wrote back to them. Okay, so you, as you look into your Bible and you see these epistles like this one, okay, what happened? What is this? What's happening here? This is a letter that Paul wrote and sent back to the church. that was already established. It was established right here in Acts 18. But 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are letters that he's writing back. If you go to the book of Galatians, same thing. Most of you know this, but some of you may not. That's a letter that he wrote back to the church in Galatia, a church that he established. Here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, pardon me, both theirs and ours. Notice, grace be to you. Paul says to the church at Corinth, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Notice this opening letter, this opening four verses, and the heartfelt expression that Paul is sending back to the church at Corinth. Skip down to verse number 10, please. Verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And we'll stop right there, because that's where we were talking about earlier. But here we see a relationship between Paul and a relationship between the church of God that grew closer and closer together. A relationship that there was tough love. Have you ever heard that term? Love doesn't just always let us do everything we want to do. Maybe you're a parent here today with children still in the home, and you say, well, I love my child, so I want to have a good relationship with my child, so I'm just going to let them do whatever they want. Well, that's not love. In fact, that's the furthest thing from love. That child needs discipline. That child needs instruction. That child needs training. Yes, love brings all of that in. And love allows us to discipline them. And love allows us to show them, this is the way we do things. And this is the way we speak to one another. And this is how we share our beloved toys, right? And this is how we do these things. Love helps us to do that. And here's the Apostle Paul is showing his love for the church at Corinth. Verse number 9, also of that chapter, says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The wicked lifestyle and living of the people of Corinth did not get in the way of Paul loving them. How many people today feel unloved? Now, as a Christian, we should never get to that place, because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So no Christian today, by the way, no lost person is unloved. What does the Bible say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. There isn't anyone who could say, I'm not loved, but there are a lot of people that have never felt or understood the love of God. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us. Commendeth means proved or showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the great need of our world today. You know, the world today, there's a lot of strife, and there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of all of this all over the world. My goodness. You know what the world needs? The world needs God's love. The world needs to recognize that there's a God in heaven that created them, that spoke the world into existence, that loves them unconditionally. That they cannot perform any greater way to get the love of God. No, the love of God just needs to be received. It's the great need of our society that we live in. It's the great need for every believer. It's the great need of a local church today. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're emphasizing that Paul loved the people. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Again, think of the heart of the Apostle Paul penning this letter. I will be spent for you. A heart of compassion. Notice, though the more abundantly, look at these next three words. I love you. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. How are we going to love one another as God wants us to love one another? How are we going to take a page out of the Apostle Paul's book, if you will, and be willing to be spent for one another? The key is to get closer to the source of love. Who is the source of love? God Almighty. The closer I get to God Almighty, the greater love I will have for Him and for one another. The closer I get to God Almighty, the greater love I will have for my enemies. You know, the Bible commands us to love our enemies. The Bible commands us to do good to people who despitefully use us and say all manner of evil against us falsely. People that are running their mouth lying about us, we're supposed to do good to them. How do we do that? We do that because we love God. We do that because God loves them through us. It's not possible without it. So my love for people, my love for the lost, is going to come from God. I wrote this down. Unlovely people need to be loved. Unlovely people need to be loved. If I withhold love from unlovely people, I'm not living like Christ. Save me to live. He loved me because He is love. And by the way, I might ask you, I am a very needy person. I need God's love. I need God's Spirit. I'm very needy. I need the leading. I need this book. How many of you know you need your Bible? I need this book. This is bread. This is milk. This is meat. This is encouragement. This is conviction. This is peace. This is joy. This is everything I need. And without this book, I mean, the greatest need people have is the love of God. And how are they going to find the love of God? They find it in the Word of God. That's why we must continue to get the message to the world, however we can, whether it's through media or whether it's through local contact, by building relationships with people that we work with, people that we live by, and on it goes. Love is a great need, but it's a blessing because we have the source of love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nextly, what else is needed? Let's go back to our text. Verse 18. Verse 19 of our text, the Bible says, and he came to Ephesus, Paul, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. A second great need that we have. By the way, these are needs that I have in my life. Number one, love. Number two, leadership. Leadership. I need leadership in my life. I need to be led of the Spirit of God. You need leadership in your life. Paul is in Ephesus. How did he lead them? Well, number one, he led them in his preaching. Notice the Bible says there that he reasoned with them. He reasoned with them. And as Paul continued to do, I started out with my overcoat on today when we were setting up because it was cold. And now, boy, I tell you what a difference an hour or two makes. Here we go, because now I'm not cold anymore. But how did he do that? He reasoned with them. This means he gave a reckoning. What was he preaching about? We have not really sure what he was preaching about, but I'm sure it was a message of Jesus Christ. And as he did in every city that he went to, and every place that he went to, he went to the synagogue, and he reasoned with the Jews. He reasoned with them of the Scripture. Leadership in the preaching of the Apostle Paul. But notice what he does when he leaves Corinth. He takes the tag team with him. Do you see that? He takes Aquila and Priscilla with him. We learned about them weeks or so ago. So for the last 18 months, it would seem that Paul is preparing other people to help him in leading the church or the churches. Here's some new Christians, Aquila and Priscilla. They've been around the Apostle Paul this entire time. He's been leading. He's been helping. They have been helping. Notice what it says in verse 19. And left them there. So Paul leaves Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus to help with the church. He's been preparing them. He's been working with them. Paul can only be in one place at one time, right? That's obvious. So can you and so can I. But it's our responsibility to lead others. It's our responsibility to lead others in the things of the work of God, working on it. It's our responsibility to teach and to train the next generation. It's our responsibility to disciple. It's our responsibility to lead people to understand, like we said in the first hour, God has a great purpose for you, and God has a great purpose for me being saved. What is that purpose? That purpose is to honor and glorify Him. It's my prayer that each and every one of us would be able to pour our lives into someone else, to give our lives to someone else, to encourage someone else in the things of the Lord. Because again, Paul is moving on to the next place, and the next place, and the next place. But left behind are a bunch of people that he's been investing in. Some of those people that he's been investing in, they're not listed here, but they're listed for us in other places. Gaius and Crispus and Sosthenes and Stephanus. I don't know if they were here at this time or not, but what we do know is that Paul was providing leadership. I need leadership. You need leadership. This is something all of us need. We have been created to follow. The songwriter said, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. I wonder today, who are we following? By the way, we're all following. We're all following someone. I'm not saying you have to follow me. I'm saying we want to follow the things in this book. We want to be led of the Spirit of God. Thanks be to God that as Christians, we have the leadership in us. If you're saved, God's Spirit indwells you. And he's trying to tell you, okay, go this way, go that way. Don't do this, do that. Go over here, say this. I believe in the real leading of the Holy Spirit of God every day. Not just in the big things. Well, I really need somebody to pray for me. I've got a really important decision. Yes, we need to pray for those things. But you know what? Every day, God is wanting to lead us first and foremost through his word. How's your walk with God? How's your time in the book? You need to be led tomorrow to do whatever God wants you to do. How are we going to know what God wants us to do? He wants us to know in the book. I'm thankful that we have opportunities to help and teach and train one another in the things of the Lord. Leadership prepares followers for when the leader is unable to lead. Here's what Paul has done. And the church is growing. The witness is growing. It's expanding. There was stability that Priscilla and Aquila would provide stability in Ephesus. I want to be someone, by the grace of God, who helps provide stability. You say, Pastor Turner, I'm a new Christian, but you're growing in grace. God didn't save you. You know, the goal of discipleship isn't just to finish discipleship and then just that's it. That's it. You know, the goal of discipleship is for someone that finishes discipleship to then disciple someone else. To then say, okay, who can I go through continue with now? We have a lot of people that have finished discipleship, but you know what I believe we need? We need to see people that finish the discipleship that then say, okay, now who can I disciple? That's the leadership that we need. That's what the church needs. That's what I need. We need love. We need leadership. Lastly, number three, notice verse 20 to 23. One more thing. Verse 20, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh to Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. I mean, follow this. He's all over the place. After he spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Number three, the great need that we all have. Number one, love. Number two, leadership. Number three, labor. Labor. Just like Paul did on his first missionary journey, he goes back to the sending church. What's the sending church for Paul? Who knows? The church at Antioch. Okay? The church at Antioch. Notice that. Verse 22. He went down to Antioch to spend time with them. He saluted the church. Verse 22. He gave a report. Can you imagine sitting in the service that day when Paul gave his missionary update? We've had missionary updates, right? We've had missionaries come on furlough and say, this is what's happened. We've had missionary letters come. They don't have to come as often, you know, because we have their letter and we can read it in this update and this update. Can you imagine? It says there in verse 22, and he saluted the church and he went down to Antioch. And can you imagine that presentation? There was an accountability. There was an accountability that Paul had. Notice verse 23. The last statement of verse 23. Strengthening all the disciples. Strengthening all the disciples. There's preparation being made for something. What is it? It's the third missionary journey. The third missionary journey is about to begin. No rest for Paul, I guess. It's time to get the troops ready to go. And that's what he does. He strengthens all the disciples. It's going to be more of the same. What is it going to be more of? Preaching. By the way, can I just stop right here and say that you don't have to be a pastor to be a preacher. As a man, you can be a preacher. As a lady in the right setting, you can be a teacher to other ladies. It doesn't have to be just the pastor doing the preaching. It doesn't have to be just the assistant pastor doing the preaching. We need other men of God. By the way, if you're saved, you're a man of God. You may not be called to be a pastor, but that doesn't mean you don't have a message. You can't get a message from the Word of God. We need laborers in the Word. This is what he does here. He's strengthening everyone. He's discipling. He's leading them. But laborers, we need laborers. The pattern, preaching, teaching, discipling. By the way, this is the pattern we want to follow at Anchor Baptist Church. Preaching the Word of God. Think about what God has allowed us to do in over 20 years. Think about what God has put together. Hey, get involved in it. Come to church, yes, but this is the beginning. The beginning of the week, we gather together. We have an opportunity to pray together tomorrow morning as the seniors. We have an opportunity as ladies to gather together. I'm not a lady, but the ladies have an opportunity to gather together on Tuesday. I know not everybody can come to everything, but get involved in as much of it as you can. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. What is that? That's another opportunity to come together and be discipled and be equipped. Wednesday night church. Same thing. Another opportunity. Friday night RU. Another opportunity. And on it goes. How many opportunities do we have to be laborers for God's glory? To be trained and discipled and full of the Holy Spirit of God, ready to go out into this world in which we live and do ever we live in a world that needs the touch of God. You know how they're going to get touched by God? Through your life and mine. We're the instruments. We're the instruments of God that go out into this world. We're the sheep that go out into the world with the message of the gospel. And it's a powerful message, isn't it? In the last week, the gospel has been preached over and over again. We praise the Lord for that. In the last week, people have made decisions to trust Christ as Savior. We thank the Lord for that. We need to have a baptism. Soon, pray that we can have a baptism and get a baptism organized. We need one. Discipleship. We have people that need to go through discipleship. We want that to happen over and over again. I found this quote. If Paul were to visit one of our modern congregations, he would want to know. Listen carefully. We're just about done. If Paul were to visit one of our modern congregations, and I don't think it means it in a negative way, but in our modern day congregation, he would want to know, how strong of a disciple are you? How strong of a disciple are you? To me, that's we're saved and on our way to heaven, but are we a disciple? Paul would want to know, how can I strengthen your walk with Jesus Christ? Because isn't that the goal of all of us, to walk stronger, to have a stronger walk with the Lord? He would remind us all that it isn't enough to make a strong beginning. Just like the Kenyan runner. We want to finish strong. It's not just the beginning, but we must always grow in our strength. Paul, the end of verse 23, strengthening all the disciples. The need we have today, love. The need we have today, leadership. The need we have today, labor. By the way, God gives us the ability to do all three. If my love for others isn't what it ought to be, it's because my relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. If my leadership toward others isn't what it should be, it's because I'm not. And again, it all comes back to my walk with God. It all comes back to our relationship with God. And today, I want to encourage us as a church to find strength in Him. This is not the time to roll over and play dead. This is not the time to go backwards. This is the time to go forward for God. I mean, you just think about blue skies. You think about how it changes in one day, our weather here. And a good comparison, you know, sometimes life seems dark. And I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about life. Okay? Let's not focus on the dark. Let's focus on the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. And God has given us the ability to be on a hill and let our light so shine before men that they may see His good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Love, leadership, labor. The need of every church, the need of every believer.